T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A guy that is probably imbibed all over Wisconsin, and namely in Green Bay, is Aaron Nagler of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com, joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Hello, imbiber. How you doing?
I am doing well. How are you? I don't know what you're talking about. Imbibing. I don't even know what that means. I'm shocked at the accuracy.
You're still living in the world of prohibition, my friend. I think that's what it is.
Exactly. Something like that.
A lot of activity, if you want to call it that. When I said a flurry earlier today, and I meant it for the NFL, that's a flurry of activity, considering there usually is no trades around the trade deadline. We had a flurry of activity yesterday. The question then becomes, should the Green Bay Packers be doing anything? And I think as long as number 12 is not on the field, what are you going to do? Let's be honest. I mean, do you look for the Green Bay Packers, or do you think the Green Bay Packers were going to do anything at all?
No, I don't. And, you know, I think if there was anything to do now that Rodgers is most likely done for the year, maybe perhaps they look at moving a guy here or there to try and get some assets in the draft. But even that, I don't expect Thompson to be proactive in that regard. We know how Ted Thompson operates at this point. What is it, 13 years into his tenure? He will let the trade deadline come and go. And if he were able to be asked, of course, we won't hear from the man until the combine in Indianapolis in the spring. But if we were to talk to him today, magically, I'm sure he would say, oh, we like our guys. That's always been his response. It's always going to be his response. He likes the guys he has on board, and it's very rare that he looks outside the building to find new ones.
So I had a great conversation last night with Trevor Davis on our Horse and Plow huddle, and I walked away from that wanting to see more. I wanted to see... I'm anticipating more out of Brett Hundley. From what he told us, and kind of, now again, that's his guy, but he just said, look, technically he's not Aaron Rodgers, but he's got a lot of attributes that can be assessed to Aaron Rodgers in the sense that he's watched a lot of, he talked about how intently Brett Hundley follows Aaron Rodgers around. It's almost like this dog wanting to follow the lead dog and learn everything the lead dog knows. He said, look, you just got to give him a chance. And I agree. I agree in the sense of, if you're going to let this guy's in the system for 3 years, he's our guy, well, then, damn it, just let him sink or swim, and I'd rather see him do it on his own terms. And I think that's where I'm at right now with watching Brett Hundley and anticipating Brett Hundley. How about you?
Yeah, I understand that mentality, especially the idea that, you know, if McCarthy hadn't been so adamant the week leading up to the Saints game about that very thing you're talking about, that we've got 3 years invested in Brett Hundley. But that's fine. That's great. But then to come out with a game plan that essentially hides that quarterback that you have 3 years invested in, that tells me you don't trust the guy. That tells me that despite having 3 years invested in the kid, despite the idea that he's got to come lead your football team and lead your offense, you want to hide him. You want to ask him to do as little as possible. And I understand he's making his first start. I understand the offensive line was banged up. I get all that. But I then looked at the Dolphins game against the Ravens the other night when Matt Moore comes in and is throwing a pick six nearly every other throw. And I think, you know, this is probably what McCarthy is trying to guard against. This idea of, okay, we're going to open it up, we're going to run the same offense, and then you have a backup quarterback just making errant throw after errant throw to guys he hasn't, you know, obviously played with a whole heck of a lot. I think McCarthy's idea of buttoning it up, running the football, playing some defense, although that got away from them in the second half, no doubt, that despite all that, they were in the game right until, like, you know, middle of the fourth quarter. They were still in the game. They still had a chance to win it. Now, obviously, I would put that loss on McCarthy. His coaching there in the fourth quarter, he coached scared. He coached not to lose, and it bit him. And I think that's why he was upset after that game. But I think going forward, I don't think you're going to see much of a difference. You maybe see a few more rollouts, few more, you know, read option type plays, maybe a few more kind of run pass options, check with me at the lines type of sprinkling of that. But I don't think you're ever going to see McCarthy just open it up, so to speak, because of what I was just talking about. They can play you know, defense that can run the football, stick with the game plan, try and get into the fourth quarter and win the game. I think that's their best bet for success with Hundley under center.
You had just mentioned what I'd been preaching for a while now, and that is the defense. Look, as much as we want to talk about the offense and Brett Hundley, this defense needed to be top 15 at minimum for them to be successful with Aaron Rodgers. I think they need to be top 10 minimum now. I don't think they have the personnel within them to do it. Do you?
If they can get any kind of stretch of health in the secondary, I think they can, actually. I think it's just a question of, look, it's pretty clear that Dom Capers, for whatever reason, just refuses to simplify his scheme. They are always completely kind of running guys in and out, matchup to kind of try to take advantage of matchups, to match up with what the offense is doing. Now, part of the, you know, recency bias is obviously very real. The Saints are an offense that are always running guys in and out. They use tons of different personnel combinations. So they kind of got caught there. But this is not a new thing. This happened against the Cowboys. It happened against the Vikings where, you know, McCarthy is having to burn timeouts. I mean, they've allowed a 25-yard run to the Cowboys and a touchdown run to the Saints because they played defense with 10 men on the field. And I understand, you know, substitutions are a part of the game, and that happens around the NFL. But I have yet to see a defense in another NFL city that has played multiple snaps with 10 men on the field. That is just something that is completely inexcusable, and that starts with Dom Capers.
Right.
That starts with his scheme. He's got to get that cleaned up. And McCarthy's going to go to bat for him. He's going to deflect. He's going to defend him, and I get that. That's his job. But ultimately, that's on Capers, and he has got to get that fixed.
Do you think because I said when Aaron Rodgers went down, legacies are now affected because Mike McCarthy, the, quote, quarterback school that he puts these guys through, he's had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Who beyond that has really developed? Graham Harrell? No. Brian Brohm? No. Seneca Wallace? Vince Young? You can go through that litany of guys. Nobody's really stood out to say, okay, I'm that solid Doug Peterson behind Brett Favre type of guy. I mean, you haven't had that. So I think this is part of his legacy here. And then in addition to that, I also think to myself, Dom Capers has to be able to make something out of this defense. You can't get your guys back short of Rollins and say, we can't be in the top 15 with the personnel that we have, including Montrevious Adams and Vince Beagle and everybody starting to get healthy. If this doesn't happen and the secondary doesn't get any better and you still see confusion, Mike McCarthy painted himself into a corner along with his coaching staff when he said, sometimes a different voice is needed, when he started letting assistant coaches go a couple of years ago. And I said, that is a very heavy statement when you start to look at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's funny you say that because it's kind of what I was intimating on my podcast a couple of weeks ago after Aaron got hurt. Look, this is an opportunity. And I know McCarthy probably relishes it, even though he'll never say that publicly. Because obviously, you know, you're not blind. You're in a fishbowl there in Green Bay. He knows. He knows what people are saying. He knows that Aaron Rodgers makes you. You haven't done anything. You're riding in Rodgers' coattail, et cetera, et cetera. Now, this is a very different scenario than 2013, the last time they had to deal without Rodgers, you know. I mean, that was a case where they were playing quarterbacks who hadn't been in the system for a month. But now, as you say, you've got a guy that you've been grooming for 3 years. We better see some development or, yeah, you're going to come under question. Now, as far as who else has he developed, I would kind of put the caveat out there. You got to look past just his time in Green Bay. The man had a top 10 offense with Aaron Brooks at quarterback. The man helped in Matt Hasselbeck's development. I mean, there are other quarterbacks that he has worked with. But in Green Bay, I would agree, you know, for the most part, that cupboard is pretty bare outside of the two Hall of Famers.
So now we look towards, obviously, Brett Hundley, but then there's the addition of a run game. And Aaron Jones, who has become, I'm not even ready to say he's just the real deal. To me, he's just a guy that looks like a running back. Now, how much better he's going to be, especially behind an offensive line that seemingly is going to be back and as healthy as they can possibly be so for this time of year. So how much more do you rely upon Aaron Jones in this package as opposed to just saying Brett Hundley go win us games?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. You have to run the offense through Aaron Jones. I just don't see how you can go any other way. As you say, I don't think he's, you know, I'm not ready to say he's a great NFL running back, but he is certainly by far and away the best running back on their roster. And, you know, that's no slight to Ty Montgomery, Jamal Williams, or whoever else. But he's been the most productive. He's shown the best vision. He's obviously produced the best when given the chances. And I just don't think you can turn back at this point and kind of go, well, you know, we want to split time between him and Montgomery. No. You've got to run this thing through Aaron Jones. And I know that's going to be odd for a lot of Packer fans to watch probably over the second half of the year because, I mean, let's face it, the Packers haven't run an offense through a running back in a long, long time. But, you know, and that doesn't just have to be line up in I form and smash it between the tackles. There's a lot of different, whether it's the zone stretch game, whether it's the screen game, whether it's splitting him out and sending him downfield. Jones is one of your best offensive weapons, and they have to get the ball in his hands.
Talking with Aaron Nagler of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. Before I let you go, obviously Martellus Bennett puts out over the weekend that he is contemplating retirement at the end of the season. I kind of joked and said, look, some of his catches or the miscatches that he has not made, some would say he's almost kind of mentally checked out as it is. What do you see in Martellus Bennett that makes you say you would either, one, want him back, or two, okay, we'll talk to you later?
You know, look, he's still a primary driver in the run game as far as sealing the edge. He's done it better just in the last, four or five games than any tight end's done it in the last 10 years in Green Bay. Now, obviously, you didn't sign him to millions and millions of dollars in a, a three-year contract to block on the edge in the run game. You want him down the field. You want him catching the football. He has had a major issue with drops, but you've also seen kind of, glimpses of the playmaker he can be, whether it's, going deep in Dallas, whether it's taking, the final catch against the Seahawks to seal the game on the bootleg. I mean, there have been tantalizing moments, but I would agree. I don't think there's any doubt. The fact that drops have never been an issue in his career, and now suddenly he comes to Green Bay, and it has been a major issue. It's been a major theme all season long. That kind of tells you, especially if you read my colleague Ryan Wood's piece on Bennett from over the weekend, he was talking about this in camp. He was saying, I could retire at any time at this point. He's done what he needed to do in the NFL. He's played for a number of different teams, made a bunch of money, won a Super Bowl in New England. There's not much left for him to do. And as anybody who follows him on social media knows, the guy is definitely ready for his career past the NFL. So I don't think it comes as any surprise to hear him talk.
I guess the question becomes, if you thought that he was only going to be a one-hit wonder, and why would you let Jared Cook walk? You know what I mean? Because hindsight being what it is, I understand. But Jared Cook, you're watching what he's doing over in Oakland, even though they're not winning games right now, and he has been an asset to that offense as opposed to Martellus Bennett, who, as you said, has not normally had drops in his career. But this year, he's not the burner downfield that everybody thought he was going to be. He is a good blocker. He's not as athletic as Jared Cook. And Jared Cook has more longevity. Why would you let Jared Cook walk? Is that a misstep on Ted Thompson's part?
I think like you said, it's easy in hindsight. I think the idea being, obviously, he's a little bit more athletic, but he's got, that's a guy who's had problems with drops.
Absolutely.
I
agree.
All career.
Yeah.
All his entire career. Now, should they have kind of ponied up? That's the thing. That's the drawing the line in the sand where they've gone, whether it's letting letting Cook go, whether it's letting TJ Lang go. There are certain positions where they're going to draw a line in the sand. And because of the fact that they have this monster deal coming up that they have got to sign Aaron Rodgers to, there are going to be times when, look, we'd love to pay $2 million more. We'd love to pay $3 million more. But if we keep doing that, if we dole that money out to all these different positions, well, then we're going to be really up against it when it comes time to give our quarterback $100 million, which is coming down the line, probably next offseason. So, yes, it's frustrating. I get the hindsight part of it. But, drawing a line there at the tight end position and then going and get a guy who's a premier player at the position in free agency, it's hard to fault Thompson.
Good stuff as always, Aaron. And, we could go on and on, but I'm glad you joined us for a couple of minutes, and we'll talk later down the road, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Aaron Nagler of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.